Unpack your knives and stay. Yes, stay. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Top Chef Reality TV Wrap-Up. Unfortunately, LaTanya could not join us this week, but don't worry. We are joined by a fantastic panel once again. Kurt Clark, what is up?
Not much. Just, I was going to try to enjoy some beer and coffee prior to us recording this on Sunday morning. I've only made it through the coffee, though. I thought it would not be a good idea to grab the beer just yet.
You could grab like a coffee stout, and I'm surprised that nobody really went in that direction, but we'll get into that. And we're joined by both of our good buddy and baking extraordinaire, Bryce. What up?
How's it going? This is really fun. I'm excited to be here. It's only 10 a.m. here, so I'm definitely still in the coffee phase, but maybe we'll go for a beer later in the day.
I almost grabbed a Bloody Mary, but that wasn't one of the options. From a thematic perspective, it's always an option for me.
I'm on like day four of a 5-day weekend, so I feel like I'm in like morning alcohol day.
Go for it.
No complaints.
Monday isn't Monday kind of like a mixture day anyway, at least for me anyway.
Mm-hmm. Bryce is a longtime listener, first time caller of us.
It's true. I have been around the Rob of the Podcast universe for a long time. Kurt and I have known each other for what, like 7 years now?
Yeah. Used to be, well, for all intents and purposes in the big world of things, neighbors.
Yeah, right down the street. So, you know, I've been listening to you guys. I've been listening to Kurt podcast for a long time. And it's fun because I feel like I often have cliff notes for the two of you anyway, and a lot of baking. And
you will like DM us.
Yeah, totally.
All of your opinions about things. So it just feels like very natural for this to happen.
Oh yeah. I'm used to getting the, like, did you watch Top Chef yet, Kurt? And like, he's like, okay, I have opinions. And so Bryce definitely has thoughts on shows. That's not a surprise to anybody who follows him on social media.
Yeah. If you're ever looking for, like, you just want to watch someone drink too much wine and yell at the TV, mostly Bravo MTV, then I'm your guy.
So we're pretty early on in the season. We're only in episode 2, but what are you thinking so far? Are you hooked? Are you like, you know, not sure about what's going on?
For me, I think I genuinely believe, like, as I've kind of implied, like my taste is normally garbage. Like I live in a dumpster style TV. I just finished a binge of Southern Charm, which may be the worst thing that's ever been televised.
I gave up Southern Charm because it was too awful for me.
That's saying a lot.
So,
because I'm like right there with you. I only watch trash. Like if it's been nominated for an award, like it's probably not something I'm watching. But Southern Charm, I think I made it like 3 seasons in, and I was like, why am I doing this? No.
Is it worse than Floribama Shore?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
I've watched a season or two of Floribama Shore, and like it's not great, but it's at least they know what they're like, at least they know what the product is that they're putting out, or Southern Charm, they feel it feels very delusional of their standing in society.
So what you're saying, Bryce, is you're hoping for like a Top Chef Kentucky mashup where they did the below deck Top Chef Kentucky. You want something where, I don't know if we're going to get it here in Portland. I don't think it's kind of as far away from Southern Charm as you can get, but you need some sort of mashup
rules, you know, it's the restaurant industry.
I've been saying for ages that they need to do restaurant wars of like Pump and Tom Tom and Sir.
For sure.
You know, anyway. That Lisa Vanderpump is a judge on Pooch Perfect on ABC.
I don't know what that is. Kurt,
stop trying to make Pooch Perfect happen. We're not going to watch
it. It's the Rebel Wilson dog grooming reality competition show.
We're not watching it.
Can I just bring this back? I want to clarify. Okay. Yes. What I'm saying is normally people don't really trust anything I have to say about television because I represent such a deplorable section of the internet. But I actually think that Top Chef is one of the highest quality, like best shows on TV, even like scripted reality, whatever you want to say. It's such a positive show. They have such a great, like diverse, talented cast this season. Each individual panelist is so like qualified and smart and constructive. And I really like that they've gotten away from like the early seasons of the pea puree drama or, you know, like the fighting that was going on with Marcel. I've gone back and I've been watching a lot of early Top Chef just because quarantine. And it was really fun to watch the Chicago season because, you know, I live here now and it, like a lot of the places were familiar. But just like the show used to be a lot different than it is now. And I really appreciate the direction that it's gone because it's almost like watching a sport where you're watching like the best of the best compete in really creative ways. And most of it is really good. We'll talk about a couple of things that I would definitely not go anywhere near that were made tonight. But in general, I do think that like I really appreciate the quality of the show. And it's crazy to me that both Top Chef and Project Runway are both on Bravo. You know, you've got the stuff that we were talking about before partnered later in, like Summer House is on right after Top Chef. And I love Summer House, but like,
it's different.
Yeah, it's a different style of show. So it's just kind of wild. But yeah, I love Top Chef. It's probably my favorite reality show at this point.
And I guess I noticed it during the first episode, but it really struck me during this episode is I just love this cast and I just love their energy. And there was just several points where I was like, oh, this is just, everybody seems to be enjoying themselves. I mean, I was a little bit worried at the Gabriel Dawn partnership because they kind of just ended up with each other. And we'll get to that. But even then, like watching that partnership just kind of evolve, it was awesome to see. And I Haley, did you get the Canadian cut this week or the US cut?
Oh God, was it longer in the States?
It's an hour and 15 again.
I'm so mad.
I have a guess.
I just didn't do it. I was like, I'm not even gonna look and see.
Which makes
me a bad journalist, I guess, but no one ever claimed I was that. So
was this in your cut? The Sarah's Lucky Fish.
No.
There's a stuffed fish at the hotel that's like on one of the shelves, on a very high shelf, and she goes to it and hugs it, and it's her lucky fish, and she attributes that fit. You probably think I'm making this up.
It's like a taxidermy fish, right?
not even that. No, it's like a pillow.
It's like a stuffed animal. That's very much my vibe. I support stuffed animal hugging.
Go ahead.
I would say it looks like a real, I mean, it's like texture. It's supposed to look like a real fish. It's not cartoony, but it's thick. And she, yeah, watch the Canadian cut again next week. I'm going to like give you like things. I want to make this into a game. I want to like try to fool you.
We basically played this game this week when I joined Chappelle and Rob and Shannon Gates to talk about America's Next Top Model. And like Shannon had watched a couple seasons, but I've watched a lot of them. And like some of the stuff I was saying, she's like, this did not happen. You are making it up. I'm like, I promise I'm.
That show is wild, but that's a different podcast. Anyway. So like the fish is just, do you think it's something she brought?
No,
or was it just in the hotel? Because it's just like laying on top of a bookshelf.
I think it was just like decoration in that lounge that they have. And I don't know how much of the hotel view you're getting, Haley, in terms of their life there.
Not like a lot. But I just want to say, if I was ever on a reality TV show, I would bring no fewer than 3 stuffed animals.
Are these stuffed animals you currently own?
Yes.
I need a description.
Well, definitely Sloth is coming. If you follow me on Instagram, you know Sloth. He's disgusting, that poor boy. Then I have a Jose Bautista stuffed doll. Bringing that. I think that's hilarious. And then probably a sock monkey or 4.
I was going to say, don't you have like 20 sock monkeys?
A lot of sock monkeys. I love them. I'm a child. I love stuffed animals. Ethan told me, he's like, you can only pick one for the bed. Because he was getting tired of like them all ending up under his head or like around him. He's like, you need to stop this. You can pick one.
Oh, well, I guess we should probably talk about more about
the episode.
The cooking and the.
Oh, yeah. I am obsessed with this quickfire. I think it's a brilliant idea. I really loved the quickfire challenge in season 4 when they actually went to a breakfast restaurant and had to do like quick or short ordering chefing. So I was really excited about it. And then I thought this one was great because they could add their own twists, because the other one, they basically just had to do what was on the menu because they were literally working in a real restaurant. I love the guest judges. I love the panels. I'm so excited that we have all these people. And I think because what Bryce said earlier about, you know, they're giving great feedback. Well, they've been on the other side. They know what kind of feedback they're looking for. They know how to present it in a way that doesn't seem like cruel or harsh, but very just helpful and constructive. So in this quick fire, the panel had to say what they wanted for breakfast, and two chefs had to ding in and cook it, and they were facing off. Then the top seven were going to go, like, you know, they picked the favorite from the top seven or whatever. So I thought that was a lot of fun, a lot of different breakfasts. So we started, Mar wanted steak and eggs. So Byron and Gabe chimed in.
It wasn't until I think, I'm trying to remember at what point in the competition I figured out and realized that they were making that dish for everybody and not just Amar.
Yeah.
I mean, because there was something where, like, I do remember that Podman said, so you're making
eight plates
in 30 minutes. And I thought, okay, so there's seven guest judges, and I thought she was going to maybe order. And it's like, okay, but does that, so, okay, that sounds easy. You're serving eight dishes, but across the, anyway, mm-hmm. It wasn't until I saw, oh no, they're making eight servings.
Yeah. And even Shota said something like they had like 3 minutes a plate, a little more than 3 minutes a plate.
Here's one thing, and we can choose to go down, unravel this at this now, later or never, is especially because I've been watching Tough as Nails and listening to that podcast with Jessica, Mike, and Rob and Phil Keoghan, whatever. I feel like I have a really good idea of how they filmed during quarantine because of all the insight that Phil has brought to the podcast. And here I'm a little bit confused because there's times where I was like, are the judges quarantining together separately? Cause they're obviously not distancing from each other. And then for some of the short order cooks, they have these masked, servers deliver them to the table, but then Chris and Nelson delivered their own dishes to the judges at the table at the very end. And I'm just like wondering, you see them like the judges walking down the street together. So I'm like wondering, obviously the chef testants are quarantined together. Are the judges also quarantined together? Like, I'm very curious about just how this was filmed. But that's, you know, something I'm just going to kind of keep an eye on as we go, because maybe it's just top of mind watching stuff filmed during quarantine. But
I follow a lot of these chefs on Instagram, and they were all sharing the same exact stories through this filming period of them doing like line dancing in a hotel ballroom. Like, they're definitely, and like playing around with the producers in a hotel. Like, they're all quarantined together.
Right. The judges, though, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's
who I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It seems like for the most part, they're kept separately, but I think as far as I understand, they were in quarantine for about a week, like separately, and they got testing done like every day or every other day. And then they were able to come together, and I think they are still getting tested like every other day.
So we had Cassie Baird as a guest Carrie. Judge. And was it Carrie or Cassie?
Carrie.
I was watching it, and I go, there's Cassie and the Carrie. I'm like, okay, no, I'm gonna remember this name. And I'm not looking at our note sheet, so that, you know, that would have helped me out. So Carrie, so I'm wondering, so she probably had to quarantine for a week before coming on as the guest judge. And we know that Brooke's gonna be involved. I'm guessing she went through the kind of the same thing. So it's, I don't know, I'm just finding it like really, really interesting. But yeah, steak and eggs. Tasty. Although here's the thing, I'm not a big breakfast person. So like it's like the first meal I have is usually lunch. You knew this, Bryce. Come on.
That's true.
And so a lot of these things wouldn't have like floated my boat. Although like the shrimp and grits is something I would have gotten all over. And then we had our second, I guess, steak and eggs. Sure, I'll try it.
None of these feel like that breakfasty. It's not like nobody made like a yogurt parfait. Because I'll agree with you. Like, breakfast isn't my number one. But breakfast and like this, I do too.
Yeah.
These are all very much so like they focused on the savory. There were no pancakes. There were no French toast. I personally would have been like, make me a donut. We're in Portland. But, you know, they all seem to focus in on, like, you have your protein and you have, you know, they didn't, maybe the hemp griddles or something set up. I don't know.
What did you think about everyone's hesitancy for dim sum? The second one that was up from Melissa.
I felt bad,
but it is kind of a little more vague than like steak and eggs or, you know, say, shrimp like, and grits.
Seafood and dim sum and fried rice, like these are not things, maybe if you've been out drinking and you came home at 5 a.m. and you were, you know, trying to keep your hangover at bay. I don't know.
it's funny you say that. And this is like, I've been lucky enough to have to get to travel to some Asian countries for work pre, obviously, COVID. And the breakfast buffets at these hotels would be like, they'd have like the American section where you got the bacon, you got the pancakes, but then there would be all of the like local cuisine and there'd always be dim sum and fried
like steamed buns. I would have like a steamed bun every morning.
I would have like so much shumai for breakfast, even though it's like largely and usually shrimp based. I'm like, I don't care. So I'm actually, if I have breakfast, like I will have spaghetti for breakfast. I'm just as likely, like actually I had, before the podcast, like around like 9:30 or 10, I had the other half of a sandwich that I had ordered last night. It was basically like a burger with ham and caramelized onions on it. Mm. So I'll eat at breakfast time, but I don't typically like breakfast foods.
So we started with Amara steak and eggs. Byron made a sear T-bone steak with chimichurri over eggs, potatoes with pickled shallots. And Gabe made a steak marinated in chipotle adobo, plantains, black garlic molasses, glazed potatoes. I'm gonna be honest, I've never had like steak and eggs before. It's just not something I like go to, but I would absolutely eat either one of these. They sounded delicious.
I'm a big chimichurri fan.
I was inspired by this episode. We ended up making chimichurri with steak last night for dinner. It was great. Broke out the barbecue for the first time this year.
Nice. Gotta get the dust off.
We burned the dust off, yeah.
the black garlic molasses glazed potatoes were intriguing to me. I think the only time I ever had really steak and eggs is like in a sandwich form. I was like, I kind of worked above the Billy Goat Tavern in Chicago for a while. And like, and oftentimes it was, you'd grab the steak, egg and cheese sandwich from the Billy Goat and, you know, take it up to the office with you. And so I've only really had that in sandwich form, just not on a plate necessarily, but they both looked really good.
Gabe ended up taking this one. Like we said before, Melissa asked for dim sum. We saw Shoda and Abhishar making this one. Shoda made a shrimp dumpling mochi with sweet soy and green onion sauce. And Abhishar made butternut squash fritter with chili oil and sweet soy. But I think Abhishar forgot to put a fritter on a dish or two. We saw that a couple times, that an element of the dish did not make it
too late. For various reasons. And I thought it was actually kind of was really unfortunate that of like the, you know, if approximately half the dishes didn't have fritters in them, Melissa did not get a fritter and she was the one who ordered the dim sum.
I thought that was just cruel.
Yeah. I mean,
Richard doesn't get his fritter.
Was this where, did you pay attention who brought the plates up? Was this one where the servers brought them up?
Yeah, it was. So maybe they probably just didn't know. But it's when you have, I would have been very, I don't know if in what world, especially when the fritter is like supposed to be the star of the dish, where it's just kind of, you just have the sauce in there. I can't think, even if he'd missed one, I have a feeling he wouldn't have one just because it's not complete. But if it was, it sounded like, you know, they would vote by taking a tally down the line and passing their ballots to, you know, tabulator Padma. And she would like read the winning results. So maybe if you had, five people getting the dumpling and three people not, if those five people preferred it, would that potentially have put it over the edge? I don't know how they would have judged that.
Do you think if Abhishar had shot the dumpling at the buzzer and it landed in the bowl of chili oil, would it have counted as long as he got the shot off by the buzzer?
I would rule that as yes. He did not touch any elements after. Just like the food can continue to cook once it's on the plate.
Yeah.
Once his hands are off of it, anything can happen.
Next up, we have Kwame asking for shrimp and grits. Sarah and Jamie are taking on this challenge. Sarah makes the shrimp and grits fritter. Jamie makes the winning dish of cheddar polenta and Cajun gochujang shrimp. Oh my God, did that look good? Oh, I want that right now.
I've been gochujanging a lot this week in terms of I found a place near me, the Grand Rapids Brewing Company, that has an amazing soul chicken sandwich that is made with the gochujang spices and sauce. And then they also have, and you can get the same sauce and kind of like a tender there. And so I did that like, you know, two or three times this week.
Then Maria and Gabriel face off with Dale's spam and kimchi fried rice. Maria made fried rice with spam, chipotle, and chorizo. Gabriel made pineapple and spam fried rice. I think I probably would have chosen Maria's. I like the way she played with spam and chorizo, but
that's a lot of meat, though.
Nobody's ever. I've never said that before. If you know what I mean. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Oh,
yeah, I mean, I personally, I know Haley's gonna hate this, but like, I'm not into pineapple in cooking.
I'm leaving. Actually, I'm not leaving. I'm picking you out. I'm in control of this.
Thanks. It's been great. I'll see you later. But in general, I thought even with the pineapple, like, it looked better on the plate. And so I tried both, but you're right. Spam and chorizo. That's a lot. And I love chorizo. I'll eat chorizo on anything.
The funny thing is, I think this episode had some sort of subconscious influence on me because I bought spam yesterday when I was at the grocery store. And not only did I bought store brand spam.
Okay. Well, I understand we're in a pandemic.
That's the gamble.
You're trying to like, but why?
There was a point in grad school where I was going through a spam phase for about 2 months. And my go-to dish was I would fry spam up with peanut sauce. And then I would put it on a bed of ramen. I mean, it was like the cheapo depot college student, quote unquote gourmet. But I loved it. It was
I wish I could say that sounded bad, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm up to hard pass on that one. Whatever you want to do.
I'll let you know how the Meyer brand spam goes.
Next up, Sasha and John face off for Gregory's ask of fried eggs and veggie hash. Unfortunately for Gregory, he got no fried eggs. So Sasha made sweet potato hash with preserved lemon, creme fraiche, and fennel salad. And she just didn't hear the egg part. She just heard the veggie hash. And John, she made a Yukon gold potato hash with kale and sweet peppers. And she had made eggs, but she just, again, poor Dawn, didn't have enough time to get on the plate. I felt so bad for Dawn here because it's just like, no, this can't be my entire Top Chef journey of just like not being able to get an element on the plate. So I'm hoping that Dawn is able to understand the way her timing works a little bit better and maybe scale back. So I think actually being in a partnership for the elimination challenge might have served her a bit well. We'll get there.
I was kind of wondering, like, you know, there's always an element of adjusting to we're in the kitchen, we're being filmed, we have time constraints.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, like, as an athlete who has, like, made most of her professional life, at least a lot of it, in her younger years, like, doing sports, which involve a lot of discipline.
And a lot of timing.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising. But, like, I think she'll probably get there. I think she just needs to loosen up a bit. She seems kind of, like, pretty rigid.
Like an athlete.
Yeah. And so, yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, like, she's not, you don't see like Sasha and Brittany are like goofing off over in the corner and having a lot of banter and chatting back and forth. She's not doing that. She's 100% focused. And even with that, she's still having time management issues. So hopefully in the future, because I like her a lot. I think she's really talented.
She's one of my
top choices for the win. But I think she needs to kind of figure that element out.
Fennel salad. I'll just leave it at that. This is our first fennel sighting, I think, of the season too. So thank you, Sasha. Bye. Sorry.
And who was surprised that Carrie asked for fancy toast? Because I certainly was.
Okay, this is the one I need to go in on.
I have it in our notes as Cassie also.
I just ignored it. Brittany and Kiki face off for this one. Brittany made mushroom au poivre toast with sherry and manchego cheese. And Kiki made avocado toast with green harissa, goat cheese, and shaved radish. I will say I was a little disappointed at Kiki's choice to make avocado toast. Like, I feel like we've been there, we've done that. And yes, it's like elevated avocado toast, but I was definitely more interested in the mushroom toast. Oh, that's kind of fun.
Okay, so this is where we have a strong disagreement. And I'm just going to kind of take down both of them. So, first of all, when Carrie showed up, I was like, of course, we're going to get fancy toast because that's her thing, you know? But like, I really enjoy Kiki. I always got to root for like my home state chefs. I'm always, you know, rooting for Michigan people because I grew up in Michigan as well. But how bad must that toast have been? Like, I'm sorry, on visual appeal, Kiki's one.
It was beautiful.
I am not a mushroom eater. Mushrooms are my fennel, Kurt. Okay. But like, how bad must that have toast have been for the judges to go with Brittany's like open faced barf sandwich on untoasted white baguette?
I like my toast untoasted.
No,
personally, I like plain bread.
The texture of that would just be like warm.
No, I'm in. That's like the top of a French onion soup. So in on that.
Absolutely not. Get it out of my eyesight. I had to fast forward. I could not take the picture. Disgusting.
Anyway. I'm on Team Haley here. The mushrooms and the manchego cheese, it looked a little bit like the kind of the top of some French onion soup.
It was all beige.
I love beige food. Have you looked at my Instagram? It's all beige food. I have to like actively try, like I look at my Instagram, I'm like, I gotta make something that's not beige today.
All right. Well, whatever. I disagree.
I just think it was even like visually taking the visual element aside. I can almost like taste how like, I think like rich the mushroom dish was. I wanted to try that.
Mm-hmm. I just, oh, it looks so good.
Well, you guys can have that one and I will,
You'll have avo toast all to yourself.
Yeah.
Richard really Richarded out, but I thought it was great that the last person had the most complicated dish, but to like kind of punish the two people who are like, I'm going to wait till the end and see what happens. So Chris and Nelson faced off for Richard's dish, which was cruelly corned beef hash, eggs over medium, hash browns, and hollandaise sauce. Expectedly, all of the elements did not end up on the plate here. Chris served over medium eggs with cheddar and black garlic hash and hollandaise, while Nelson put up potato hash with cheddar, ground beef, and pork.
Yeah, and I think they called this the kitchen sink in the Chiron at one point in terms of a little bit. And as much as they wanted to, like, I think play up the, oh, Richard, you scamp. What did you do? Like, everybody, you know that all of these requests were made. Like, these were planned. I mean, the judges may have gotten to pick them themselves, but it was run past production. Mm-hmm. And so
they had to have those ingredients in the cupboard.
Exactly. But that having been said, it was a lot. I think the fact that Chris was the one of the two that got eggs on the dish, on the plate, was, you know, probably what helped put him over the top.
Yeah, nothing. He's had more elements. Seemed to have any moisture to it either. It was all dry ingredients.
Unfortunate. I really love this quick fire. I'd love to see something like this again.
And then the winner, I think, surprised me.
It surprised me based on what happened last week, but based on like what we saw in this quickfire, it didn't surprise me. Jamie won, like I said earlier, and her acceptance speech was quintessentially Jamie. And, you know, Patton asked her how she felt about it. And she kind of gave this like, nonsensical answer. I think we can agree on. And then one of her other contestants translated for and said,
Avishar,
she's very happy. Like, she's thrilled.
Can we talk about her? I think there was several times when she was cooking that she was like, Hooters.
I heard that too.
She, like, That was her. That was, I don't know if it sounded like it was her expletive choice was Cooters. So I don't know if that was in the Canadian cut or not, Haley, but
I don't remember.
I'm enjoying the vocal eccentricities of Miss Jamie. So
Jamie's a really fun character and obviously a great chef.
Yes. And I, you know, with the frequency I go to Vegas, I'm going to have to check out her restaurant when next time I'm there.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So then for the elimination challenge, they're highlighting two ingredients that Portland is pretty famous for, which is beer and coffee. They draw knives. Some have coffee on it, some have beer. They're told that they have to make a dish, kind of highlighting that ingredient. You know, they do their app choosing, which I love. I love it.
I've still missed like the,
I get it. And I think for this season, I'm happy with just something like just a little different. You know what I mean?
I just kind of miss.
We still get the Whole Foods fun con. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But not as much. I wonder if Whole Foods like had to, like, didn't have to put as much money in this year because of their decreased spawn con time.
Although it's interesting, they've added that element now where they put up the little like a sticky note on the screen of here's what Shota bought at the, you know, on the app, or, you know, here's what Sasha bought on the app. I miss the scrambling for ingredients and those moments of
and having to change inspiration. Up like what they're making and stuff. Yeah, I get that. I think that's fair.
Do either of you order food that way from the grocery store?
Not really, because I'm one of those people who, like, if I can do something myself and save money, then I will do that. Like, I'm never going to get my legs waxed because I can just shave and save so much money. And like, I'm not going to get food delivered. I'm not going to, like, we've done it maybe once over this kind of whole year just to try it. But I like going through the grocery store and buying a bunch of things I absolutely do not need.
Oh yeah. That was me yesterday. It's like, there were four things I needed. And then like, $100 later, you know, it's, I think the only time I've ever ordered groceries online was like 10 years ago when I had like a broken leg and I couldn't, you know, get out and go shopping. I do Imperfect Produce, where it's like, I'll get some like fruits, like,
yeah.
And that's just more like they auto populate your cart. Like, and I was like, oh, there's plums this week. Send me some plums. But then they end up going to waste also is the thing. So, but it's primarily for like fruits to snack on.
Yeah, I think
a bigger variety than my local store.
One of the things that we are losing from that is like the second that somebody goes up to the meat counter and they buy like all of the good shrimp or something like that. Mm-hmm. And like the other chefs then have to pivot. That's one of the things that I miss. And I don't know about you, but I go into Whole Foods all the time and they do not have what I want. And so I have to go to Mariano's and then I have to go to Jewel. And it's like a whole list of grocery stores that I will stop at on the way home to get everything I need. So
That is literally the right order, by the way.
Haley's like, what?
I've been to a Whole Foods, so that's about it.
Yeah. But, you know, I wonder, like, are they just kind of guaranteed stock by doing it this way so that they always have what they need?
I was wondering, like, do they tap into different, like, oh, this person ordered this much, but are normal, like, do they have to source it from multiple Whole Foods in the area? Because I'm guessing there's more than one Whole Foods in Portland.
It's just different. It's just a little different.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like fitting with what's going on right now, which I think is reasonable. But then they get to the restaurant they're cooking at the next day, and Tom in his beautiful little knit sweater. They're in Portland. Tom is going full Portland here. Announces that, oh no, you're not cooking separately. You have to pair up with somebody who has the opposite ingredient as you, and you guys have to make a cohesive dish. So they were pretty shocked, but they were excited, kind of. Maybe. Jamie and Kiki ended up with each other. Abshar and Shota came together. Brittany and Sasha, the BFF team, they teamed up. Nelson and Maria got together, Gabe and Sarah, Byron and Chris, and Don and Gabriel. Looking at these teams, who were you most worried about and who were you most excited about?
Well, I was very surprised because the last two, I think, were Gabriel and Don, right? They kind of got stuck with each other. But so did Kiki just be like, I'll just pick woman with immunity and partner with her right off the bat? Like, I was surprised at that. I would never partner with someone who had immunity.
I was nervous for both of those teams. I thought editing throughout this little chunk was excellent in that I was nervous for every single team. Every team I was like, oh no, they could have an issue with this. Oh no, like, oh no. I have to say, I love the bromance of Abishar and Shota. They are so fun together. They just have great chemistry. They look like they make cooking fun. And that's really what I want.
And there's a lot, I think, same, and I liked seeing the energy between Brittany and Sasha, but there was something in the edit.
You felt it.
There's something that made me worried, like something was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like they're almost like too lighthearted. But the Abishar and Shota, where he's like, I looked to the left, no one, I looked to the right, no one, then I looked down and there was Shota. That was, that was hilarious. And I love those two. I was worried, I think I mentioned before, I was worried about Don and Gabriel, only because they seem to kind of end up with each other and we haven't really seen any interactions with them. Then we've had like the previous two cooking instances of Dawn as, there were like some timing issues.
But we have these clips of Gabriel's personality, which kind of feels sometimes a little overbearing and like he's the decision maker. And I felt like we got both of those in the edit. So I was very worried about them, but I think at a certain point they were just like, you know what? We will just work together. Like, you have to trust me that I'm great at ribs, and I'll have to trust you that you know what you're doing, and we'll have to make it work. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it was very interesting because like the way that it was cut, each team had their element of like, oh no, somebody's forfeiting their dish. And it felt like you could tell Byron and Chris were in trouble these two guys are going to be on the bottom because Byron kept talking about how little of himself he was putting into the dish and how Chris knew what he was doing. And he was just kind of going along with it, and that never goes well. But then, a lot of chefs had that kind of relationship happening. Except
for Sasha and Brittany, which is what had me worried for them, is like everybody seemed to be like, okay, let's think about this because this isn't easy.
Let's make a new dish where they were like, let's just...
Yes, no problems. This is an easy solution for us. And then the Byron and Chris thing, it was also like, not only, I think, Byron said, he had to give up 90% of his ingredients. And like the 90% that Chris had kind of taken over was like, and I kind of don't like this pasta. he's like, should I say something? But even looking at Gabriel and Don, like early on, Gabriel was like, you know what? I think Don acknowledged that Gabriel was foregoing a lot of components of his dish and letting her steer kind of the primary element. And she was really appreciative of that as well. But then when there was a point later where he was like, there's too much pepper in it, that's going to override. We have to let the coffee and the beer shine. And they kind of had like a little bit of a tear. But then there was a point, then Don goes, we got this, boo. It was said, but it was quickly put in the past.
It seemed like all of a sudden they just clicked and trusted each other. And that was great. Cause I was really worried about this team, and it seemed like obviously they had one of the best dishes. So Jamie had coffee, Kiki had beer, and they made beer braised fried chicken, coffee stout glaze with a butternut squash puree and roasted coffee. This sounded fine.
Yeah.
I think it was a middle dish. I think that's fair.
I don't think I've had a lot of coffee infused or coffee based elements in cooking and drinks. And beer I've had as like a element of the cook, but I've not had a lot of coffee based ones unless it's like desserts. I don't think.
Right.
I mean,
I have a coffee rubbed steak, but I don't drink coffee. Like a hot coffee, I will not ever gravitate towards. I just find it too bitter. So I worry actually that a lot of these dishes would be too bitter for me. And I don't like the burnt taste. Like I don't like toast that's past like lightly browned because I don't like the char flavor. Avishar and Shota ended up winning this challenge, and they made a lobster sunomono with double cream coffee and stout reduction, carbonated grapes, and furikake.
The carbonated grapes really intrigue me. And so this, this was the dish where Tom is like, this was completely unique. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a later dish that we'll talk about where I think that some of the commentary was interesting in terms of being at the top. But this one, I think what made it stand out is like, we've not seen anything like this before. And it was spectacular.
Grapes seem to be the like carrots of this season. I don't know. You guys remember the season where everybody cooked with carrots every week?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
There's a lot of grapes this season.
A lot of yogurt.
I'm not like a huge grape fan. I like them, but and I definitely would try the like carbonated ones.
Sounds just amazing.
Maybe not in whatever, like, what do you guys know what a sunomono is? It's a soup or something?
We can figure it out pretty quickly. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Well, but well, like, oh, go ahead, Kurt.
I would say while you're looking it up, like, did you have in your edit, Haley, the backstory is from Shota and Sasha about just how the pandemic impacted
yeah.
their.
Yeah.
That, I don't want to obviously skip over that. Because we saw Sasha got the coffee, but Shota's like, I kind of want to get coffee. I think there's more you can do with that. And he gets beer. But for both of them, and I hadn't even thought about this in terms of something that some of the contestants may have gone through. But we hear both from Sasha and Shota how not only did they have to kind of, you know, close that, they had to close down their restaurants, but that also they kind of, as during this time, they turned to alcohol as a way to get by. And for both of them, it became an issue. And Shota, I think Sasha, it was framed up more as,
I'm not doing this anymore. And yeah. Shota was like, I'm taking a break because I know yeah. that that's best for me. It's tough because it's an industry that's so centered around alcohol a lot of times. And then, you know, cooking has kind of like a party culture to it. And then when the party's gone and there's nothing left and, you know, your whole world has fallen apart in a matter of weeks, doesn't really go away. And so I'm glad that they were both able to start on their journey of recovery and knowing themselves better. And we wish them all the best.
And I'm hoping that we also get, this was really, I think, one of the first, I think we didn't get anything as in depth as this in the first episode, but I'm glad that we're starting to see the more of these sort of like here's how quarantine has like specifically affected me. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping we get more of that from other chefs. I mean, not necessarily they paired these two stories together in this episode because of how kind of on similar paths their stories were. But I'm really curious now, what did other people experience? What did other people go through? So I'm glad that this is something they're going into.
I'm hopeful that it isn't every week, like one is the winner, one is the loser. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because that's the way it's coming across.
Much felt like Sasha was not long for the world after this.
Because I was high on Sasha after the first quick fire win. But then last week she was in the bottom. So it was... Yeah, I thought the loser was going to be either Brittany or Sasha. There's always a chance she'll come back. Last chance, get you.
Speaking of Brittany and Sasha, they made a beer marinated pork loin with beets, milk stout, vinaigrette, coffee romesco, and coffee hazelnut crunch. Now, on its own, this sounds like reasonable and good, but it just it didn't work in execution. They burnt the coffee hazelnut crunch, and I think that would really just take over the flavor of everything.
And there wasn't enough of the beer-ness.
The vinaigrette. It sounded like the romesco was like the chief sin, though. Like the thing that really set them over the edge with it.
Yeah, this is something that would have intrigued me, but if I had heard somebody at another table in a restaurant talking about it the way that the judges were talking about it, I was like, I'm not going to order that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. There's no, sorry.
Nelson and Maria, I loved their chemistry. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very warm and supportive, which is always so much fun on the show that they just really love each other.
They made Spanish together too.
That was great. How fun is that?
Yeah.
They made a chili relleno a la caribeña with beer, coconut curry, lobster, pasilla, negro sauce with coffee and sweet potato puree. Now, this sounded good. I was very impressed in both the lobster dishes here.
It sounded good. It sounded like there was a lot going on, though. Like, there's a lot of elements to this, like a coconut curry lobster, the chili relleno, the coffee and the sweet potato. I don't know how it would have gone. Like, if you divided this into in half or thirds, there's elements that I like. I don't know how they would all go together. Like a coconut curry lobster and a sweet potato puree. I'm having a hard time.
That's fair.
Mind tasting that.
Yeah.
What was that?
Stuffed inside of a pepper.
Yeah, exactly. I would have tried it.
Yeah. They were in the middle. Gabe and Sarah, they made a pork tenderloin cured in espresso, smoked yogurt with hazelnut, salsa matcha, tortilla with stout and porter. They were in the top. They were particularly impressed with Gabe's tortilla. I thought it was really cool infusing the beer into the tortilla like that.
I would like to try it as like a novelty, but I would not want like a full meal of that.
Yeah. I think it would be overwhelming. I think it was perfect in like the quantity they gave it in. I think the pork tenderloin in the espresso over the beer was a very smart choice. Because I could see how like doing it in the beer, like Brittany and Sasha did, you would kind of lose the beer where the espresso is really going to stand out.
Yeah, this one I would have wanted to try. I can kind of mind taste it. #mind taste. I think the tortilla would have been the thing I would have gone to for. It's always interesting when there's times when the judges, you can tell they're reserving their commentary for when the chefs leave the room, but then there's other times where they can't help themselves. But
yeah, they're just like, comments. This is good. This is great.
So that's always, I think, a good sign. If you get praise while you're still there, that's a good sign. If you get nothing, you can't really have anything to go. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, but if they give positive feedback while you're still at the table, like instant reactive, that's probably a sign that you're at least safe.
Byron and Chris, they made a coffee and berber spiced duck breast with mushroom and coffee tortellini, beer and miso foam, beer marinated mushroom, and they were also on the bottom. I think if the pasta was a little thinner and a little more stuffed, this sounds really delicious and I'm into it. And I love the way that like visually the stripes were done with the coffee pasta. I thought it was a really clever dish. Unfortunately, it was just not executed correctly. It's tough.
It looked like those cookie straw things that you get. The ones that are like rolled and hollow.
Oh yeah,
they're just like a cream. Tin. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if the pirouettes or what those are, but that's what the pasta dough reminded me of because it had that kind of that swirl through it. I thought that was a unique. I would have wanted to. There's like coffee pasta, but I kind of want to try it. I try it, but I don't know if I would have ordered that's the thing where you're like, the chef sent out a sample of one of their tortellinis. It's our new coffee. I'm like, oh, I'll try that. But I don't know if I would order this as a dish.
One thing also I would say, I definitely would want to try the pasta, but like, isn't it proven? It's season 18. It's just no more foams. Let's be done with the spit on a plate. Like nobody wants it.
I'm right.
And this
there.
Was not even like a good foam. It was just like, let me pour some goo. Like, no.
I wish there'd been some foam on that fancy toast from earlier, the mushroom fancy toast, just so we could really push Bryce over the edge.
Bryce would not have come.
There probably was foam just from like whatever other goo.
Just naturally occurring.
I would like fermented on the toast.
Exactly.
Don and Gabriel made a coffee and beer braised pork rib glazed in sour beer with an herb salad. I was surprised that they didn't win here. It kind of felt like they were leading us down that path. I think maybe the difference is that I think it was Gail who said it was like, I've had ribs and watermelon before, but this is elevated. This is better. So I think it's the fact that Avishar and Shoda made something that they were like shocked by and they had never thought of, they had never made before. I think maybe that's what gave them the edge there. But half the table, this was their seventh dish. They're probably full and they still like lick those ribs clean.
Totally. Yeah, this, This was the one where I was like, yeah, Avishar and Shota had something completely new. This was the dish exactly like you said, Haley. It's like this appears on the plate. You're like, okay, I know what to expect from this. And then you kind of like, okay, that takes it to a new level I didn't expect from what I saw. And this is also the one where they had the sour beer was both in the glaze for the ribs, but also it was like, compressed into the watermelon. And I was like, I wanted to try the watermelon.
Do you understand how that works? Cause like, I don't know. We've all probably tried to do like vodka watermelons. I have, but it never like works. At least not the way you think it's going to. So like, do you have any idea how that works?
I think it's probably very similar to how the grapes get carbonated. I think there's a pressure element. It's not simply
sealed. Yeah. Like it was vacuum sealed, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I did see that.
Okay. But the specifics of it, no. But it's like, I don't know, maybe I'm just craving watermelon. But that part just sounded really, really good and really interesting. I'm not a huge ribs fan, but this looks tasty.
I'm right there with you.
When Amar held up the bone and it was completely like, clean, I was like,
span.
I want those ribs right now. Yeah. They look so good.
I didn't remember how much, and I don't remember if I did. I'm really enjoying Amar. And we got more Amar this episode because it sounds like, last week they kind of featured Melissa as the spotlight guest judge. This week it was Amar and Dale. I really am enjoying the return of Amar. It's a little bit of a flashback for me. I'm hoping we'll get kind of more of him. But yeah, it was just, again, the judges are a delight. Although I'm wondering if there's some sort of role for Richard Blaise in the future of the show, because there were points where like Padma would just like turn it over to Richard to announce, like he did something, there was something during the quick fire where he, I don't know if he was the one that she was like, Richard, announce who the winner is or something. But he like seemed to have like a couple special roles in the first two episodes. I'm just wondering if they're like, and they seem to be going to him for a lot of things. So I'm just wondering if we're going to see more Richard in future seasons. I feel like they're setting this up for
he's the one that Padma likes to like joke around with too.
Yeah.
She's always giving him crap.
Yeah.
So
Avishar and Shota take the win here. We lose Sasha. I was disappointed to lose Sasha. I felt like there was more to see from her, but I think that was the right choice.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm just going to agree and say yes. I figured it was going to be someone from their team.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if it was going to be an issue of not enough beer or too much coffee.
Well, and which one was which? Who had the beer and who had the coffee again?
She had the beer and she had the coffee, Bryce. Sasha had the coffee. Brittany was responsible for the beer braise or the beer vinaigrette.
Surprising because there was the main problem was the lack of beer on the plate. Apparently Sasha likes her crumbles. I'm sure we'll get into that in a minute, but it sounded like it was just like burned coffee, hazelnut crunch on top, and that doesn't sound appetizing. So
it's always a little bit heartbreaking when, when they're in the stew room, right before they get called to judges table, it's when they're like, well, who's happy with what they put out there? Who thinks they're safe or whatever question they kind of pose amongst themselves, and everybody raises their hand. And, you on my second watch through, you see, Sasha and Brittany raise their hand. I'm like, oh,
I did want to point out too, this is the first stew room we've had in a long time.
Oh,
because they used to just like have everybody out there and give everybody.
Yeah, true.
It's interesting though, because she's not pulling them in two separate groups. So we're not getting the in the middle between the two groups where they come in and get. And that was where a lot of the drama was for the previous season. So I'm kind of curious.
There was one part where, they say you three teams are in the top. And then you see Brittany turn to Sasha and say, so we are in the bottom. You think we're in the bottom? And Sasha says yes. I'm pretty sure that was probably filmed out of order, that these three people moved over here.
Yeah.
Brittany turns to Sasha and says, so you think we're in the bottom? And Sasha's like, yep. I'm guessing that happened before it was announced that the top three were the top. Mm-hmm. But I do miss them occasionally swapping things up and having the bottom be talked to first. I'd like to keep, not that they need to keep the chefs on their toes. I guess that's potentially just cruel. But for entertainment purposes, it would be good to like not just know.
I feel like they will.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel like they'll.
I trust you, Haley.
I hope I trust you. And then we get our first Last Chance Kitchen of the season.
Yeah, I think we were wondering last week is this going to reflect why, Sasha had left? Is this going to reflect why Roscoe had left? It wasn't really either. It was more that it was like to compete in Last Chance Kitchen or to compete on Top Chef, you have to have a thick skin. And so we're going to compete with thick skinned, proteins, nuts, and, produce.
I feel like the challenge was trying too hard to make it hard.
You mean just
because they had to have like a seafood, like an oyster, a clam, or a lobster. Mm-hmm. Like obviously those aren't typically mixed with like pistachios, peanuts, and whatever. And those aren't particularly mixed with jackfruit and chermoy and whatever else is there. You know what I mean? Like it was just kind of like
it was going to be for you.
Pardon?
A little too chopped for you?
Yeah, it was a little chopped. But they did. They both did a great job with it, so kudos to them. But it just felt like they were trying hard to make it choppy.
I'd never heard of cherimoya.
Neither have I.
Jackfruit. Interesting. I'm looking at it actually right now. There's a tiki bar across the street from me. I think I referenced. I may have talked about it in the last podcast, but they have really good food there. And one of the things they'll do is like from a. Many of their dishes, you can swap in jackfruit as a substitute for meat.
Yeah, they do a lot of shredded, like you can get like a pulled pork, but make a jackfruit sandwich.
Yeah, it's used a lot like tofu is in some restaurants in terms of it being a swap in. I've not tried it.
I've tried it. It's good.
Okay.
I thought it was durian for a second. And I thought you said like,
oh,
in the Philippines, I lived in the Philippines for a little while and they have mangosteens and they have durian. And those are the king and queen of fruit. So I was a little disappointed that somebody didn't go with the mangosteen because they're so delicious, but they are kind of, I would imagine, hard to cook with.
The thing about this Last Chance Kitchen is I loved the Roscoe that we got in Last Chance Kitchen. Like we didn't get much of him, obviously, in the premiere episode because you've got like 15 chefs and in the States, a 75-minute episode if you don't, with commercials. But I was loving the particular brand of Roscoe energy that we were getting in Last Chance Kitchen.
And same with Sasha. I think both of them. Both their personalities really shined in this.
Yeah. And it's just now at least we'll potentially be getting Roscoe. I don't know how they're doing this with quarantine. Hoping that Roscoe they'll keep the peanut gallery element of Last Chance Kitchen where you'll have people. And I think you will because they've always acted. I think that's been an interesting way for the competing chefs in Last Chance Kitchen to voice what they're doing is getting questions from like Roscoe or whoever is kind of watching. So
they're filming in real time, I'm sure, like week to week. And because in the past, haven't they done Last Chance Kitchen where they'll like film it later or something like that?
I think they had at some point, but I know that there was at least one season where we got confirmation from the contestants that it was filmed like concurrently with the show that was very much real time. So yeah, I'm guessing that that's what they had to do. Until we hear otherwise, I'm just going with it. And this competition happens a day or two after Sasha was eliminated. That's just kind of,
or is he just like stuck in a hotel by himself? Well, I guess Sasha's probably with him.
Yeah, potentially. We'll see. Yeah. I'm wondering, Roscoe's probably still at the same hotel. Just can't socialize on camera. So
another episode is in the books.
Yeah.
Mention that Roscoe lost?
Oh, yeah.
Roscoe lost.
I don't know if we covered it.
I forgot about that. Tom said both these dishes were good, just that Sasha's was extraordinary.
He really liked it. Like, he was blown away by Sasha's dish. Like,
I like that she had green apples in the broth or whatever she made, too. It sounded really good.
Yeah. I'm surprised I was like, I'm just going to throw her back in the competition now. He seemed like bullet. Like it seemed like this was like the best Last Chance Kitchen dish he's ever had, the way he was talking about it. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see who gets there next week then. And yeah, down to our final 13 for now.
So Bryce, what have you been making this week?
Oh man. So basically all I do is run and eat. So, and cook. I'm on a real rice noodle cook, rice noodle kick right now. So I've been doing a lot with shrimp. I've been doing a lot of curries. I made some cashew chicken the other day, put that over some garlic rice noodles. So I've been doing a lot of that kind of thing. I just made a cake yesterday out of Biscoff cookies. So it's like a Biscoff cake. There are chunks of Biscoffs in the cake. And then I made the frosting with crumbled Biscoff cookies and put a butterscotch ganache on top of it. I made a blueberry cheesecake not too long ago. So I'm just like always trying to kill myself with food.
Do you prefer baking to cooking, or are you kind of even?
I prefer... I'm kind of even, I guess. I mean, yeah. I love baking because it's a little bit more scientific, I guess. And I feel like you can be really creative with combinations. I overcook meat a lot. It's not a talent of mine. So a lot of the stuff I make, it tastes pretty good, but it probably isn't as good as it should be.
I feel like your Instagram feed definitely skews towards baking though.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'm more proud of like the bakes that I make because I think they're a little bit more into it. I tend to with cooking, I follow the recipe to a T and like try to make it look exactly like the picture that I'm trying to make. And then with a baking opportunity, it's like you can do whatever you make the base for the cookie or the cake or whatever. You can do whatever, you can use whatever frosting, you can, be a little bit more creative with it. So I love cinnamon. It's my favorite flavor. So anything I can put cinnamon into, I'm all over.
Kurt, have you made anything fun or eaten anything fun this week? Actually, you sent us a picture. Was it this week of like a chicken sandwich? And
that was the Korean chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
I got this. Yeah, the gochujang chicken sandwich. I also got, it was a steak and brie taco in Indian paratha for the flatbread. It was almost the cheese was so melty and the bread was so bendy. It was almost quesadilla like, even though it was kind of, build as a taco because it was kind of like sandwiched and stuck together. Those were both amazing. I subscribed in January to the Bacon of the Month Club. So I get two packs of bacon a month, not a week. And then also I've been doing my weekend ritual has been, there are these quiches, these frozen quiches at the local grocery store. They just, throw them in the oven at, 350 for a half hour. And the one I baked in the oven yesterday was a buffalo chicken and blue cheese quiche.
That sounds delicious.
They have like a jalapeno cream cheese and bacon quiche. That's amazing. It's this company. It's a Bakewell company. I don't think it's like Bakewell tarts from the UK. I'm pretty sure it's not. But that's the brand is Bakewell quiches. And so my weekend ritual is to make one of those quiches, depending on the size, because it comes in several sizes. Sometimes I'll eat half and save the other half for later. But then I also like, pair it up with some bacon from the Bacon of the Month Club. Right now I'm on this chili bacon. That's pretty good. And then, a couple days ago, I got a pear and grape pizza, from a local place with, I can't remember if there was goat cheese on it. It was like drizzled with honey. I added pepperoni on it just to get a little bit of meat in there, but it was so good. And like, it was so good.
When I love the pear and pizza.
When I saw the grapes, I was like, what, grapes?
And normally I'm a thicker crust fan, whether it be like your pan tossed or pan pizza or even a deep dish pizza. But this was like cracker thin crust.
Hmm.
Wafer thin, as Monty Python would say. And it was so good. And I don't know if I got it because I still had those carbonated grapes in my head. I was like, oh, grapes.
I went to the grocery store that day and bought grapes because I was like, I need grapes right now.
Yeah. Top chef in the grape industry, I tell you.
Well, there's a lot of sweet potatoes also this season too. We've seen a lot of sweet potato.
What was the cheese on the pizza? You say goat cheese?
There was goat cheese on, but I believe there's also mozzarella. The goat cheese is like in little crumbles on the top.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that's been my food exploratory-ness. I'm getting a meal kit delivered on, I believe, Tuesday. So I'll potentially have some different things that I've actually made that I'll be able to talk to next weekend.
My major project this week, I made coconut cauliflower taco in a vegan queso. The tacos are really good. I would make them again. They're just a little involved. That was my first time shallow frying by myself, and I thought it turned out pretty well. The queso was okay, but a little weird, I guess. I mean, I don't know, just not really what I tend to gravitate towards. One of my favorite things we got for takeout this week, we got Domino's. We've discovered a perfect Domino's pizza. Now, I will tell you, Pizza Hut has a better Hawaiian pizza. Domino's has this, and we'll get a garlic butter base instead of a sauce, and we'll just get cheese.
That sounds incredible.
It's unbelievable. it's so simple. It's just cheesy garlic bread, but in a pizza.
People are not generous enough to Domino's. They're wonderful.
I love a chain pizza. I can't help myself.
Yeah, Pizza Hut, one of my favorite pizzas.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's funny, there's a YouTube channel I highly recommend anybody who just wants really light popcorn snacking of video content. The Try Channel. I think I've seen each of you different videos. Yeah. It's always Irish people try blank.
Yeah.
And one of the ones I think they did was Irish people try Domino's pizza. And I think, and just from from what I could tell contextually, it seemed like Domino's is a treat over there. It's Domino's, we don't get this often. This is going to be fun. And just having people just watching them kind of just rave about these different Domino's pizzas was a great time. So I highly recommend that. And most of it, they're trying some sort of food or drink. They even have an all durian episode.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of their biggest fear is one of these going to be durian. So that's another just kind of side content I recommend people check out.
Well, I think that's it for this week. Bryce, thank you for joining us. If you want people to follow you on social media, where would they do that?
I mean, if this content of like I mentioned before of Bravo and basically just pictures of Chicago and food.
I think you're underselling how beautiful your cakes are.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'd love to be able to share one with you sometime.
Well, you sent me cookies after my wedding and they were unbelievable.
I got cookies care package as well. It was quite tasty.
Yeah. I'm not going to put it out there that anybody who messages me can get free cookies. Yeah. You have to
for the $100,000.
So spend the next 6 months chatting with me on Instagram and then maybe we'll talk.
Those are for the $100,000 Bryce patrons.
So yeah, I'm only on Instagram right now. And my handle is at @BCR_Bruno. There's a story behind it that it's too complicated. I know none of those things are my name. So anyway, so yeah, if you want to, you're welcome to.
Kurt.
I am at Kurt Clark with 2 C's on the Instagram, on the Twitter, on the Twitch, on Sunday evenings on Twitch at twitch.tv/DMPhilly, FILLY. Some friends and I, many of them you're familiar with from either the Rob as a podcast or Push a Recaps universe. We do we do a tabletop role playing game that we stream called City of Mist. That's at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. And then we do a Dungeons and Dragons game with some familiar faces as well at 9 p.m. Eastern on Mondays. Same channel, twitch.tv/DMPhilly. If you follow me on Twitch, I'm going to try to stream more gaming than I currently do.
I got an email, I think it was last night, that you were streaming.
Yeah, it was very brief. I did some Fall Guys. But it was, I believe I was making food at the same time. So if anybody was listening in, they were hearing me yell at my Amazon device. I can't say her name. I'd be like, that's because the timer would go off. And I'd be like, Alexa, stop timer. And things like that. And she's going to, There are no timers set. Yeah, there are no timers set. Thank you. That's you can, you know, follow me in those places. If you follow me on Instagram, you're going to see pictures of food that aren't as pretty as those that Haley and Bryce take. But yeah, when things get to normal, if you want to see someone doing escape rooms and posting their photos afterwards, that's the channel to go to.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. You can check out my new book account on Instagram, The Strong Library. I also did a couple fun podcasts this week, besides this one, of course. Earlier last week, I talked to Sarah Carradine about last year's Netflix show, Next in Fashion. So that was really fun. And then, like I said earlier, I joined Chappelle and Rob and Shannon to talk about an old episode of America's Next Top Model on Chappelle's Reality Rewind podcast. That was so much fun. Even if you haven't watched Top Model, I would say check that out.
Which season was it?
Season 6, episode 3.
Oh, boy.
So if you want to hear Shannon and I both have existential crises live on air, well, then that's the podcast for you, my friends.
Who doesn't want that, to be honest?
It was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah.
You know, for as breakdowns go.
Yeah.
But until then, you know, just pack your knives and head on out. Bye.
Bye.